when ladies are used to, for example, come to advertise a product for a company, why not a man? Why should a lady come? Because they want to say that, okay, due to this beauty or this fineness of the creation, she is suitable for this purpose.
But the instrumental look at the men is also available in the Western world too. You know, I think that especially the Western world has got misunderstood the position of women. And the women are looking after the rights in the wrong picture that has been made for them. Because the women nowadays, especially in the feminism and the feminist look that they have, are looking for the instrumental look of the men too. And this is absolutely the materialistic look, the bodily physical look that the men and women have at each other and are looking after their own rights in this framework. But let's get out of this framework. I mean, let's get into the true position of men and women. You know, I hope that the dear listeners got me right, that all the movements nowadays that are looking after the rights of the women in the Western world are exactly playing in the same field that the men have been playing for so many years.
Yeah.
This is the problem. This is the problem that we have. So why not, you know, let's get extreme. Some of them say, why not a man getting pregnant? See how much a look at the body and the physics of a man can take. Why not a man? Or why not doing this? Why not doing that? You know, these are neglecting the absolute powers of the men and women in the society because we are looking at it just for these 50, 60 years of life and that's all. So what is the true position of men and women in this life? Is it so? I mean, give me an answer.
Let me give you a short, actually, compliment on what you said, brother. When I'm talking about instrumental look at women, it does not actually mean that there is no instrumental look at men. No, it is. But majority of this actually look is much more higher than the other. We mostly see women doing advertisement, so it's not something that we can actually ignore and we deny. So it means that it is available. But at the other hand, for men are also used as, for example, this kind of look actually is being prescribed for men as well. But when I'm talking about the majority, it means this has become a sort of, let's say, movement, a sort of, let's say, current concept.
I think you mentioned a very key concept in this subject. The meat of the problem is that the Western world doesn't acknowledge human as a spirit that is experiencing a body, as a spirit that is riding a body, the way religion and Islam looks at human. They see human as just a body, right? It's just physical. So they cannot pinpoint what the problem is. That's the root of the struggle. They're trying to find the problem, but they cannot because they have a much more fundamental problem in their worldview.
That's right.
So they sense the consequences. They see the problems of this inequality, but because they're only looking at human as the physical form of human, and the physical form is definitely different. No one can say that men and human don't have any difference in their bodily, in their physical form, right?
That's right.
So they cannot pinpoint where the problem is. But if you believe that we are spirits that are experiencing different bodies in different continents, in different countries, in different situations, different IQ levels, different talents, then we can understand that, yes, the spirit is the same for all people. And then we're experiencing different physical forms. We have different limitations, different restrictions.
That's right.
And different possibilities because of our body.
Yes.
And then the instrumentation problem that you mentioned. As you said, it's not just for women.
Yes.
For the modern world, for the capitalistic world, there's the 1% or sub 1% group that are ruling the world, and the 99%, all of them are just instruments. okay. for them, right? Okay. Whether you're a man or a woman.
That's right.
How can I use you to get to my goals? Can I use you for advertisement? Mm-hmm. I'm going to use you there.
Yes.
Can I use you as a labor force? I'm going to use you there. So we're all instruments for that system. Based on different physical talents or possibilities that we have, we're going to be used for that system. This is why they cannot fix this equality problem until they acknowledge that human is the spirit and it has a different goal. It's not just here to live like an animal, reproduce, eat, and die someday. We're here to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Sadiq and Brother Ali, for a nice elaboration regarding the topic of position of men and women in the society according to the speeches of the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atar, the host of this program. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, you can visit our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. Guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, the holy month of Ramadan, indeed one of the, if not the holiest months of the Islamic calendar. What a holy and beautiful month, a month which is 1,000 times in value to any of the other months, as we have been related in a famous tradition by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in which Imam Ali alayhi salam was present, and it talks about how the nights of the holy month of Ramadan are the best of nights. The days of the holy month of Ramadan are the best of days. Its hours are the best of hours. It is just one of the most holiest of months in the Islamic year. Of course, this is the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed. In a very beautiful sermon on the onset of the holy month of Ramadan, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he says many different things and many different aspects about the holy month of Ramadan. We find that Imam Ali alayhi salam was present in this sermon, because Imam Ali alayhi salam asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, what is the best deed that one can do in the holy month of Ramadan? And so here the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, replied that the best thing that one can do in the holy month of Ramadan is to prevent themselves and to stay away from those things which are prohibited by the Almighty Allah. So a very beautiful piece of inheritance. Thank God and thank Allah that Imam Ali alayhi salam was there and he asked such a beautiful question, what is one of the best things and what is the best thing that we can do? And a lesson for us that in the holy month of Ramadan, we need to try our best to stay away from these things that have been prohibited to us and things that Allah has ordered us and commanded us to not do. And of course, if by chance we end up, for whatever reason, breaking the commandments of Allah, or we end up breaking the divinely prohibited things that Allah has ordained, then we ask for forgiveness in this holy month of Ramadan. We find that in the seerah and the sunnah and the traditions and the manners and the lifestyle of the infallibles and immaculates alayhimus salam, and of course of Imam Ali alayhis salam, that the holy month of Ramadan was a special occasion, an occasion to really focus on Allah the Almighty, to be able to ask for forgiveness for our sins, to be able to establish a connection with Allah, to increase our spirituality, to further detach ourselves from the material aspect of the world and the material aspect of ourselves. Truly, the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and Imam Ali alayhis salam benefited from this holy month of Ramadan, and it is not of mere coincidence that it is in the best of months and the best of days and the best of nights and the best of hours that our master Imam Ali alayhis salam attained martyrdom in. A very beautiful and profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثناي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
And now we invite you to listen to Fayyaz Ja'far.
These days, when we turn on our TVs, or are listening to talk radio, or browsing through social media, we are bombarded with unique images of destruction, of vilification, and of the oppression and the isolation of a wide variety of different minority groups across this world. In a country like the United States, there are upwards of 100,000 homeless people. There are people within our own communities who are victims of domestic and sexual violence every single day. There are children in Yemen who are being killed for no other reason other than the fact that they live in that nation. Oftentimes, we see so many images and we hear such horrific anecdotes that in reality, it actually has the potential to desensitize us to the fact that everything that we're seeing in reality seemingly so far away from us that there's not much in reality that we can ever do. Which is why these days when we hear certain images, or when we hear certain stories, or when we hear about certain anecdotes, we are so desensitized toward the violence that we're hearing, that we're seeing, that we're discussing on a day-to-day basis, that within a couple of moments we'll just turn the channel, we'll just close the link and open up another one into checking the score of our favorite sports team without any real regard, without demonstrating any real compassion and mercy toward people who are victims of oppression. And when we go toward the whole Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, we see such strong emphasis in terms of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt advising their followers and their companions toward making certain stands in order to creating changes within the society that they were living in. One day it is said that one man, during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen in the city of Kufa, one of his ministers came toward him and said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have been a recipient of news that a lady who was a non-Muslim had her anklet bracelet stolen from her." And when the news came toward Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, in this regard, he responded by saying, "I would not be shocked if a believer died just upon hearing of this tragic news." When we hear or when we see things that are far more tragic than what Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen is talking about in regards toward a lady having her anklet bracelet stolen in the 7th century, all of a sudden we wonder, why don't we have that same mercy? Why don't we have that same compassion? Why do we not derive or strive, put in our very best effort toward making a difference in the world that we're living in? And when we go toward furthermore reflecting upon narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam, we see that they themselves have even given us a roadmap in terms of how we institute changes and differences within our society. Today, all across the world, specifically in my country, the United States of America, the socio-political climate is not very kind toward the Muslim community. Furthermore, followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam are marginalized in the United States like they are in a lot of other parts of the world. But where are the flag bearers of the justice of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam? Where are we in terms of us as individuals and us as communities making efforts toward mobilizing ourselves, toward making real socio-political differences within the communities that we're living in and that we're engaging in?
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
30 ayahs, 30 days. The blessed month of Ramadan has arrived with Allah's mercy. Waking up at midnight for pre-dawn food or sahari is very interesting, especially on the first day of Ramadan. Ramadan is a month of mercy, blessing and forgiveness, as Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said in his sermon on the last Friday of the month of Sha'ban. But this month is also called the spring of the Quran, since the Holy Quran was revealed in this month, and recitation of one ayah of the Holy Quran is equal to recitation of the whole of this book in other months. Therefore, we have prepared a special series in 30 parts, and each day we're going to touch upon one ayah and explain it in a simple way. Today, we're going to speak about Ayah 75 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran. Stay with us for more. A monotheistic person not only reflects on the Holy Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Holy Quran's teachings, first of all, was a duty of the Holy Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful, too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulama or Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Holy Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job until present day. Today this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. All of us have faced vision error. It means that sometimes our eyes deceive us. Throughout history, there have been persons and groups which didn't intend masses to understand the reality because it would be to their detriment. Thus, they distorted and twisted realities in various ways. Ayah 75 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran reads, "Are they eager that they should believe you, though a part of them would hear the word of Allah, and then they would distort it after they had understood it while they knew what they were doing." This ayah is about the Israelites, the most hypocritical and treacherous nation in history. They were the people who had been set free from the yoke of oppressive rulers, but they didn't obey Allah's command to rise up for reforming of the world. The Israelites would always defy and distort realities. Distortion is the poison which pollutes the mind of audience and replaces truth with falsehood. The current of distortion always tries to obfuscate the atmosphere so that people analyze events incorrectly. In view of this, Muslims are duty-bound to struggle against distortion by explanation and spreading of realities to the public. Explaining is the greatest duty of scholars, particularly the ulama or religious scholars. God Almighty says in Ayah 159 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran, "Indeed, those who conceal what we have sent down of manifest proofs and guidance after we have clarified it in the Book for Mankind, they shall be cursed by Allah and cursed by the cursers. The greatest exegete of the Noble Quran in the 20th century, Allama Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, writes in the interpretation of this ayah, "A scholar who conceals realities will be cursed by God due to this sin, and since he has not fulfilled his duty, he has not clarified reality, hence distancing others from bliss, will be cursed by the cursers." Concealment of realities not only will cause ignorance and misery for the scholar, but will lead his followers to destruction too. Ayah 75 of Surah Baqara in the Holy Quran, that was recited earlier, speaks about those who knowingly distort reality and try to conceal it. The Holy Quran warns us that we should not pin our hope on such people. They used to be in the middle of developments, but their hearts became stone, and knowingly they twisted realities to distort the mentality of society. Such people should be exposed and not be able to lead social currents. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, once told the people of Medina, "Whenever you see Muawiyah on my minbar or pulpit, kill him." Muawiyah, with the help of his court mullahs, changed the Arabic phrase "faqtulu," meaning kill him, into "faqbalu," meaning accept him. So people very easily accepted this distorted hadith and trusted the pseudo-scholars who would distort the words of the Holy Prophet for money, and had indeed sold off themselves to the Umayyad regime for the paltry gain of this world. The Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, explains in Sermon 210 of Nahj al-Balagha, typical scholars of the first era of Islam, saying that they are like a hypocrite man who pretends faith, demonstrates himself as a Muslim, neither fears sin, nor does he keep aloof from it, and attributes lie to the Prophet intentionally. If people knew that he is a hypocrite and a liar, they would not accept him and believe his word. But they say that he is the Prophet's companion, and he has seen and heard from him and learnt from him. So they take his word and accept it. This is why God made Muslims aware of hypocrites, and it was necessary and described these people for them. After the Prophet, these hypocrites remained and, through lying and calumny, caused the stray to come to power and rule. They made them mount on people's back, thereby they looted and ate the world. Mere companionship of the Holy Prophet is not a reason to trust the person, because distortion originates from the hearts of such scholars and narrators who distort religion in favor of their vested interests and trivial gains of this world. Social and historical currents are full of such distortions. Now pay attention to this account. It is narrated that once the Prophet of Islam sent Ibn Abbas to summon Muawiyah. When Ibn Abbas went to Muawiyah, he was eating food and refused to go to the Holy Prophet. This happened several times, so that the Messenger of Mercy cursed him in this way: "May God never fill his stomach." This became reality, and the rebel Muawiyah never felt full. But look at how this narration was distorted later on, in a way that this curse of the Holy Prophet was changed into a virtue for Muawiyah. The famous narrator, Ibn Qasir, writes on this narration, "According to this claim of the Prophet, Muawiyah has prospered both in this world and the hereafter. When he became the ruler of Syria, he would eat 7 meals per day. His dish was a large bowl with lots of meat, while we are used to eat 7 times a day, a lot of meat, sweets and fruits every day, while saying, "I swear by God that I'm not satisfied, I just get tired, and this is a bounty that all kings yearn for." Distortion of realities by oppressors will never end as we witness to it. The lies and distortion spread by Zionists and the media affiliated to them has filled everywhere, so much so that one must be very smart to distinguish truth from falsehood. Palestinians, who had no choice but to endure 75 years of occupation by the Zionists, staged the Operation Al-Aqsa Storm on 7th of October last year. But the Zionist-controlled media accused Palestinians of aggression and labelled the atrocities of the Zionist criminals as self-defence. This hired media shamelessly fabricated the naked lie of beheading of Israeli children by Hamas and turned it into a valid narration. While the bombers of the usurper Zionist regime caused over 800 women and children to plunge in their blood in the Al-Ma'madani hospital, the gruesome event was attributed to a mistaken missile attack by the Islamic Jihad movement. The magnitude of the lie towards an ongoing event in the world is pumped by the Israeli regime, which very easily and unabashedly changes the place of the victim and the criminal, the murdered and the murderer.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
Ramadanul Mustabin جاء بالنور المبين رمضان 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 القانتين
تقاضا میکنم از همه دوستان بزرگوار مؤمن و متدین این ماه مبارک رمضان رو
I ask my dear brothers and sisters in faith to consider the month of Ramadan as a ground for strengthening the major beliefs of Islam. One of the helpful points is to understand the significance of dawn and midnight at the time of suhoor. There is a precious treasure hidden in the dawn of which no one is exactly aware of.
Ramadan
هر گنج سعادت که خدا داد به حافظ از یمن دعای شب و ورد سحری.
As the famous Persian poet Hafez states, all the treasure that was bestowed to Hafez was because of the supplication at midnight and remembrance of Allah at dawn. Also, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam stated, there are many paths towards Allah and it needs a fast vehicle to reach Allah. No vehicle is better and faster than midnight prayer and supplication of early morning. This is why keeping vigil during the night and praying Allah during midnight was an obligation for Prophet Muhammad. The holy month of Ramadan is the best chance to benefit from the fruits of midnight prayer and supplication. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
يا شهر الصائمين وروحا للمعاني تقيم الوحي فينا
حبيب التائبين يا شهر الصائمين وروحا للمعاني تقيم الوحي فينا محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها تقيم الوحي فينا محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها تقيم الوحي فينا بشهر فاض نورا وقرآنا مبينا
from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to our program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the concept of humanity in the Holy Quran and different dimensions of the human being in the verses and teachings of the Holy Quran. In the previous episode we ended up talking about different dimensions of the human soul after we had talked about that human being has two main sides. One of them was the physical aspect, the other was the spiritual aspect, and we ended up talking about the dimensions of the spiritual aspect, which was, one of them was the heart, one of them was the reason. And in the last episode, we were talking about how reason cannot fulfill its duty, why or what are the obstacles that stop reason from doing its job properly. And one of the obstacles was imitation, following the social habit. And we said that according to the verses of the Holy Quran, it's not that we have to always go against the social norms, as some people believe, which is another sign of being arrogant. They want to show they're different. So excessively and obsessively, they just become rebellious, and they want to show that they're different. So this is sometimes this is a sign of arrogance itself. No, but at the same time, we must think about the behaviors and habits that we see in the society that existed in the past and also exist nowadays in the societies that we live, and we evaluate them independently by our own standards and see which one of them is correct, which one incorrect, and we are not forced to follow those incorrect things that we see in the practice of the people. So Quran actually blames people who do that, who do not think about these behaviors and follow them blindly. And we recited two verses related to this discussion. Before going to the next two verses, I thought it might be good that we also read some of the ahadith in this regard. As we know, the ahadith that we have from the Prophet and from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the main function of the ahadith is the interpretation of the Holy Quran. And this is a deviation from some people who think that Quran is enough in terms of religious teachings, and Hasbuna Kitabullah, the motto that they had, Hasbuna Kitabullah, could be understood in two ways. One way is correct, that yes, in comparison to the teachings of other or heritage of other ideologies, Quran is enough, is an enough book for us in terms of creating an ideology that we need for our perfection. But at the same time, Quran itself says that there are ambiguous verses, متشابهات, in the Holy Quran that they need interpretation from الراسخون في العلم. And also in another verse we recite that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have revealed to you the dhikr لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم, so that you do tabin. Tabin means to clarify, to interpret. So this is a burden or a function that is left with the Prophet ﷺ in his sunnah, in his conduct, practical and verbal, and also the Ahlul Bayt, as the Prophet himself said, أَنِّي تَارِكُنْ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابُ اللَّهُ وَعِتْرَتِي أَهْلُ بَيْتِي. I leave with you two weighty things. One of them is the Book of Allah, the other is the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and the teachings that they have in order to explain and interpret the verses of the Holy Quran. So saying all that, we should also refer to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt in order to understand what lies within the teachings of the Holy Quran. We will have a break and come back to read some verses referring to the imitation that is not correct, an imitation that stops our reason and intellect from functioning properly.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. And in the first segment of the episode, we were talking about the how the reading of ahadith is important in our effort to understand the verses of the Holy Quran. And I said there are There are hadith that we have that interpret and explain further the verses of Quran that talk about incorrect imitation, incorrect following of others, so or blind obedience to the tradition. So the hadith is this: قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تَكُونُوا أَمْعَى. Do not be أَمْعَى. أَمْعَى in Arabic, even the people who heard this hadith, it was a question for them what this word mean. So the Prophet said, the explanation of أَمْعَى is تَقُولُونَ إِنْ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ أَحْسَنَّا. If people were good, we will also be good. وَإِنْ ظَلَمُوا ظَلَمْنَا. If they did oppression, if they did injustice, we also do injustice. So this is أَمَّعَ, meaning that I'm one of the people. So أَنَا مَعَ النَّاسِ, in another hadith we have, أَنَا, don't say that I'm one of the people in terms of following everything that the people do. No, sometimes people do good things. Maybe most of the time they do good things in general, if you consider it. But it's not that always it's correct. And if you do something wrong, then you want to justify it by saying, okay, it's just another member of the society. Everybody does that, so I do it. No, do not justify your actions only because you're a member of a community or society. So the Prophet says, these people have this mentality. They say, "In أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ أَحْسَنَّا." If they do good, we do good. If they وَإِنْ ظَلَمُوا, if they did injustice, we do injustice. وَلَكِنْ, do not be like that. وَلَكِنْ وَتَّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Make it a habit for your soul. Wattanu anfusakum means prepare yourself, get ready, be solid in this. To what? In ahsana an-nas an tuhsanu. If people did good, you do good as well. Wa in asa'u alla tadhlumu. If they did wrong, you do not follow them. You do not go to the path of doing injustice. So this is an ideal conduct that, yes, you look at the behaviors, the things that exist in the society, the traditions, all the elements that are the practical elements, cultural elements, the things that are good you follow and you do and it's okay. But the things that do not seem good, you don't have to follow them. It is the result of your independent evaluation and your independent assessment of the situation. And based on the verses of the Holy Quran and the hadith that we have, this is what a true believer should do in his life. Also, we have other hadith that say the word imma is used. Do not be a person of this. Be a person who seeks knowledge or who is knowledgeable himself. And do not follow whatever that other people do. So you can be, when you have knowledge, you're independent yourself. You have your own ideas. You have your own values. And you can have your own decisions independently based on the knowledge and the reason that you have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with correct knowledge and correct use of intellect. Thank you very much for listening. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi.
In the limelight.
To understand the unsavory alliance that has held the United States and the Zionist regime together is to understand that they are cut from the same cloth. Both regimes share a ruthless, exploitative settler colonial ideology and psychology that has set them on parallel social, political, and economic paths. They have existed by exploitation and churning the cauldron of division and conflict among countries in the region. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Palestine Chronicle wrote, in addition to encouraging Israel-Arab economic ties, Washington has been actively promoting the furtherance of cybersecurity linkages. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security, for example, at a cyber tech conference in Tel Aviv on February 3, 2023, announced an expansion of the Abraham Accords to include an agreement on cybersecurity. By giving official recognition to intelligence sharing and security agreements between the Zionist regime and the Arab states, the Accords have made the spyware business easier and more lucrative. The Persian Gulf regimes, believing that linkages with the Zionist regime will shore up their security ties with the United States, have become eager customers of advanced surveillance technology, which they also see as useful in policing their populations. The child killer regime of Israel, one of the world's top spyware exporters, has been more than willing to sell its technology with little regard for human rights abuse. The United States, the Zionist regime, and Arab states have become deeply enmeshed in the cybersecurity intelligence world. The Zionist regime has positioned itself in the international order through its global cybersecurity surveillance web and the lucrative global tech weapons industry that have developed around it. Washington's steadfast support for and unwillingness to criticize the Zionist regime can plausibly be attributed to the cyber power and economic clout that together they have been able to wield in the region and globally. The ongoing collaboration between the U.S. National Security Agency and its Israeli equivalent, the Secretive Cyber Unit 8200, the Tech Intelligence Unit of the Zionist regime's occupation forces, is just one example of the cybersecurity network that has linked the two regimes. Former troops of the elite cyber warfare unit, for example, have gone on to found and occupy top positions at cybersecurity and international IT companies and in Silicon Valley. Google, for one, has two offices and over 2,000 employees in Israel. Washington cares little that the Zionist regime's cybersecurity companies, numbering 700, export their spyware around the world, or that unit hunts its intelligence skills through mass surveillance of innocent civilians in the occupied West Bank and Gaza, personal information that was used to blackmail Palestinians to turn them into the Zionist collaborators. Zionist hubris, facilitated by the U.S. regime, has no bounds. After stealing Palestinian land, water, and pillaging Gaza, the Zionist regime has been seeking to plunder the maritime offshore natural gas reserves that are the property of Palestine. On October 29, 2023, amidst its brutal war in Gaza, the Zionist regime's Ministry of Energy and Infrastructure announced that it had awarded licenses for natural gas exploration in areas that overlap with the recognized maritime borders of Gaza. As an occupying power, the Zionist regime has no legal right under international law to award licenses in areas it does not hold sovereignty over.